Well, we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 6 again. We're going to read once again verses 10 through 20 here in Ephesians chapter 6. If you'll please stand out of love and respect for the word of God if you are physically able, as is our custom. If you'll read with me out loud on the even verses, I'll read by myself on the odd verses here through these verses, verses 10 through 20 of Ephesians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 10 altogether. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak.
It's a joy to be able to stand before you each week and proclaim the word of God. Amen. And oftentimes I've been known to say about using scripture in my messages that the Bible has a lot more things to say than I do, a lot better things to say than I do. And so I think we'll just stick to the book. Amen. My opinions are probably not worth much at all. A mentor of mine used to say my opinion on the matter in about, well, he used to say 50 cents will get you a cup of coffee, but that's not true anymore, if you will. Coffee's a lot more expensive. Our teenagers, I don't know why, they wanted me to take them by Starbucks last night on the way home. I don't think not one of them got coffee. They all got something different. It wasn't coffee, though. I didn't even get coffee. I got dessert. Caramel ribbon crunch frappuccino. It's dessert. That's not coffee. It's like a coffee-flavored, creamy slushy. It was good. But anyways, what was I doing about it? I don't know what I was talking about. I don't know why I brought up Starbucks, but I can't remember now. I just lost that. But anyways, it's gone. But I'm glad to be here and be able to preach and use the word of God, because it is our source of supply. You know, we are living in a dark time. That's the reality of it, folks. Maybe this is where I was going. They had a theme for the youth rally yesterday. It was called Glow in the Dark. This is a dark world. And what are we supposed to do? Shine as lights. We're supposed to, you know, be that thing that glows in the dark, that shines for the Lord. And we're not going to be able to do that if we do not do what is told here to us in Scripture. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we've spent many Sundays already discussing the wiles of the devil. We've talked about these unseen things that are against us. And listen, folks, I'm not going to get political today, but the political scene is quite dark. Okay? It's quite dark. And it's you know, if you will, as far as from a perspective of a conservative American, I'm a little concerned with the upcoming election and things that are going to come out because of it. But can I tell you something? Although I'm concerned, and I'm going to do my part, of course, and I hope that you all do your part as well. But the point is God's still in control, okay? Even after or during and before the last major election, A lot of people were disheartened by that, but you ought not be disheartened, because God is justified in whatever thing he decides to do. And I was telling people that, you know, if God decides not to let a certain group win, it's because judgment is due America, folks. You can't deny that. And if God decides to judge our country, then so be it. That's his decision. But if God, we ought to pray for that God to provide and supply great grace and mercy unto us, if that be the case, if he would so be willing. But regardless, whichever way these things go and things happen, we're supposed to do what it says in verse 13. To take unto us the whole armor of God. That's the command. Because can I tell you something? Whether times are good or times are bad, we ought to be ready to go. We ought to be ready no matter what. I was taught in Bible college that as a preacher of the Word of God, that I ought to be ready to preach, pray, or die at a moment's notice. Just not to be the case. Because you never know what's going to happen. And so, you know, one of the things that I've kind of learned as a young preacher, I always have something ready. I always have some kind of message, some kind of thing ready to go. But be ready. And isn't that what is being said here? Hey, we have this battle, this thing about us. And it doesn't say that there are times where we can just lay back and take a rest. Or just, you know, oh, we don't have to put the armor on today because today is not fighting day. You know, things are good right now. We have, we have our retirement worked out. We have a job. We have food in the fridge. You know, the apocalypse is not here just yet. And you know, all these things aren't happening. So we can just leave the armor over there in the corner and we don't have to put it on today. If you have that kind of a day set up in your mind where that's the what you're going to do, that's the day you're going to be attacked. That's the day. I remember getting an opportunity. These names may not mean anything to you, but I was privileged to be able to meet Dr. Tom Malone Sr. And also Dr. Lee Robertson. I got to meet those men. And in person, I had one of my mentors was close friends with those two men, and I got to meet them before they passed away. And you know, these people, they pass on a heritage of faithfulness. And I was talking with them, and one of them told me a story about a pastor. A man of God that had a great, vibrant ministry and a work for the Lord. But something took place in his life, and his life fell apart, and things just kind of crumbled all around him. And my friend was talking to him, and he said, "Why did this happen? Well, why did all this take place in your life?" And he gave it great consideration and great thought, and he simply said this, that one day I didn't get up and read my Bible. That's the culmination that he came back to, is why did all this take place? Because one day he didn't put on the whole armor of God, folks. That's what it come down to. So we cannot just lay back. We've got to stay vigilant, right? Doesn't the Bible tell us something about that? Absolutely. How often do we need to walk circumspectly? All the time. Okay? When do we need to put on the whole armor of God? Every day. And look at what it says here in verse 13. He says, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. When is that? Yeah, every day. Today. Tomorrow. The next day. Folks, we live in an evil world. We have an evil adversary. Last I checked, we believe that man is naturally depraved.
Okay?
We don't believe in this humanism garbage that everybody's generally good. No, everybody's generally bad. All right? Everybody's sinful. We're sinners.
For there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says that we are sinners. So guess what's around us and about us every day?
Evil.
Evil. Paul goes through that supposition back and forth about when I would do good, that I would not, that I could not, all that stuff there. He says, I find then a law that evil is present with me. Folks, it's here. This evil day is about us all the time. So we've gone through these things. We've talked about these difficulties, the wiles of the devil, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness and of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places. And folks, it is an evil day. And more than ever, we need to put on the whole armor of God. Now, this thing of armor, we've not really talked about it much yet, so that's where we're going to start. These defensive arms is what armor is called. When you think of the different parts of armor that you can put on, and I'd encourage you to kind of look at the different things throughout history. But these are things worn to protect the body in battle. All right? They're not worn because it's the modern fashion trend. All right? This is not, you're not going to find this in GQ magazine or anything like that, okay? Is that still a thing? Maybe I'm dating myself, I don't know. You understand that these things are to protect the body. They're defensive arms. So as we go out to withstand in the evil day, right, and having done all to stand, we're going to need some armor. The whole armor of God. Because what's going to come against us? The enemy, right? We're going to be wrestling. We're going to be in conflict, in battle, and we need the whole armor of God. You may have different things, like a helmet, something called a gorget, a cuirass, gauntlets, tasses, brassets, crushes, covers for the legs, and different things that are considered the different terminologies of what armor is. Okay, you said, I have no idea what you just said. Well, like I said, you can look and go look it up, right? These all have weird names. But they're old names, right? But basically, you say, well, how can I know what the whole armor is of God? I'm glad you asked, because we've read it every Sunday for like the last 4 weeks. But the point is that this armor is for our protection. Do you think that any general or any commander or any king or overseer wants the people in his armies to be destroyed? You think that's his desire? Oh yeah, I have got this army of, 50,000 men, and I just want to see them decimated. I want to see pieces of my soldiers all over the field. No, that's not the case. What does a person that's overseeing an army do? Equips them. With what? Armor. So that they can do what? Conquer. They can be successful. They can be victorious. That's the whole point. God tells us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Is it easy? Is wearing armor an easy thing? Can you imagine? Anybody get to put on a flak jacket or anything like, modern armor, anything like that? It's kind of heavy. Right? It takes a little effort. I don't know if you've ever been to a museum and got to see these old-fashioned suits of armor like they had in the medieval times and things like that. We're not talking about anything that's really easy. Okay? But what's it for? It has a purpose. Right? To protect in the day of battle. So that you can withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. So since God wants us to be successful, since God loves us and cares for us, He's going to equip us. He's going to say, look, I'm going to have the things for you to do, and all I'm asking is for you to put on the whole armor of God. I'm going to supply it for you. I'm going to make sure that you have it available to you so you can put it on and to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. That moves us on to verse 14. Paul says, stand therefore. And now I'm going to tell you how. Now I'm going to give you the parts of the armor, the whole armor of God that you need to put on to be able to withstand in the evil day. So here we come up with the first one. He says, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, just recently, we've talked about some of the characteristics of God. How many of you remember us talking about the God of truth? Okay? You say, no, I don't. Go to our channel, our Facebook thingy, whatever you call it, and you can go back and see. It's on a Wednesday night. We talked about the God of truth. But he says, having our loins girt about with truth. So by definition, our loins are the lateral portions of the lumbar region of the body. Okay? So this area right here. All right? Some of us, that is a little bit of a broader area than for others, okay? And mine seems to be growing. I don't know what's going on there. But this area, lateral area of the lumbar region. What's important about the loin area of an individual? Would anybody consider that important for a soldier? Yeah, very important. Okay, so this is an important thing. And so what are we supposed to gird about or to make sure we wrap or care for or to protect it, this area of the lumbar region of the soldier? The Bible tells us a lot about this particular idea. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5, the Bible says, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. You understand that this girdle, this being girt about with truth, the lumbar region, is the strength of the soldier. What good is a soldier that can't be mobile and move? You know, when you talk about combat, right? You know, when you're swinging a sword, if I didn't have anything by way of strength or mobility from the waist down, how good would I be as a soldier? Just using the strength of my biceps and such. You know when I do this, you know what I feel? This is called the lumbar. You know all you ergonomics people, right? You have the lumbar support in your chair and the seat of your car. What's that for? What is that attached to? You know, I've got a friend that was called to be a missionary and had some difficulties in life. He's paralyzed from the waist down. You know what that's done? That's hindered him in the work of the Lord. Now, he still does all that he can, and he does what he can for the Lord, and God had a purpose for that. But can I tell you something? He's not as mobile or active as he wants to be. I've got another friend who has difficulty, broke his hip. Had a double hip replacement surgery. Things like that. Yeah, can I tell you something that hinders you?
So we have strength and mobility. And so we're supposed to gird our loins about with truth. What does truth provide for the soldier of the Lord? Strength? Strength? Mobility? Assurance? Foundation? It gives us an opportunity to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because what is truth? God is truth. Remember, He's the God of truth. What do we have for truth? The Word of God. What's our foundation? What's our strength? What's our mobility? The Word of God. So what are we supposed to clothe ourselves with or girt ourselves about with? What are we supposed to be secure in as a believer for strength and vitality, for the ability to move forth and to swing the sword and to defend against with the shield and all of these things and move about as a soldier of Jesus Christ, having our loins girt about with truth? We need to make sure that we are putting on the whole armor of God. Over in Romans, in chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, Paul says this. He says, "And know that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Hey folks, what are we supposed to do? Put on the whole armor of God. So he's talking about this armor of light here, Paul is. And he says this. He says, put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly. Huh. Why would he say that? Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Why did he mention honesty? Why didn't he say, let us walk godly? Let us walk holy. He says, let us walk honestly. Having your loins girt about with truth. We're supposed to be honest, folks. Have some integrity. Where does that come from? Does that come from man? The reasoning of man? The will of man? Is truth found in our members? No. What is one of the wiles of the devil that we're supposed to watch out for? Lies. Lies. He says, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus is telling his disciples, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. So what's another thing about our loins? It's supposed to be girded about so we can be what? Ready to move. Ready to go when it's time. It's a symbol of readiness. That we're ready to be moved and move upon whatever God wants us to accomplish. Are we ready? Are we ready to move forward in the battle? To advance when it's time? Or are we uncovered? We're supposed to have our loins girded about with truth. We're supposed to be ready to move. The Bible tells us that our loins are to be strong, fortified with power and the power of God. You understand that the woman that's given in Proverbs 31 tells that she girded her loins with strength and she strengtheneth her arms. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to gird up our loins like a man. And be ready to do the work. What does that mean? It means we're prepared. We're ready to go. We're clothed. We have that armor on, that protection, so that we have our loins girt about with truth. In Exodus chapter 12, the children of Israel were told in verse 11, "And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." What were they preparing for? To leave. To be delivered by the Lord and to have the victory over the Egyptians. Their loins were girded. They were ready to go. They were covered. They were protected. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, now, Pastor, you've been talking about the physical loin area, the lumbar region, this area of strength and mobility for the soldier. And all these things that you've read about in the Old Testament and in these other verses talk about the physical preparation of the loin area, girding up your loins to be able to move and to be clothed and to be prepared. But what does that mean for the whole armor of God? Isn't that a spiritual sense? Oh, it is. It is. Are you there in 1 Peter chapter 1? Look at verse 13. Look at what Peter says. "Wherefore, gird up the loins." That's okay. We're on board with that, aren't we? Look what he says. "Of your mind." Huh. "Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." So we're talking about the mobility and the strength of the soldier. Having your loins girt about with truth. Honesty, integrity, and truth. Over in John 17, in verse 16 through 21, Jesus said this, talking to his Father, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither I pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be as one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me." Folks, when Peter said to gird up the loins of your mind, We're supposed to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We're supposed to be renewed in our mind. We're supposed to have our loins girt about with truth. Where does that come from? It comes from the Word of God. The Word of God is our truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You understand that God wants us to be girt about with truth. And truth is God's Word. Truth is God. Truth is what God is. He is the God of truth. We understand that this has to be the foundation of our life as a soldier. Where are we going to draw strength from? Where are we going to draw protection from? Where are we going to draw mobility from? Then from the truth. It has to come from that source. It has to be the sustenance that consumes us, and we're girt about with it. We're clothed with it. We're protected by it. Because what's going to protect us from the wiles of the devil? Truth. What did Jesus combat the devil with? Truth. When the devil tries to speak a lie and throw those fiery darts at you, what are you supposed to do? Combat them with truth. What's going to dispel a lie? The truth. What's going to reveal the deception and deceit that's out there? These wiles of the devil. The truth. Why can I stand here so confidently before you and say that these things are so? Because they're coming from the truth. You know what's hard to do? Keep up with a lie. That's hard to do. Why is that hard to do? Because you forgot what you said. You're like, oh, okay, now, this one, what did I do? Did I say I'm to do, what did I say? And guess what happens as you spiral out of control with a lie? You end up contradicting something that you said before, right? And then people say, well, I thought you said this. Well, no, I didn't mean that. And you have to backtrack, right? And you have to kind of set it straight and try to figure. That's a lot of work. You know what's easy? The truth. And you know what I've done? This has happened to me. I guess I should move on from some of these things. But remember last year when I made the mistake about, I think it was about Abraham and Noah or somebody. I misspoke. You know what's easy to do? I can make mistakes. You know why? I'm human. But you know what doesn't make a mistake? Careful. I thought I heard it moving. This book, it's alive, you know, so. This book doesn't make a mistake. And I can go back and say, you know what, folks, I said the wrong thing. Because this is the truth. I can come back and say, well, you know, I know I preached this and I know I said this, but you know, later on, somebody brought this to my attention and I found God showed this to me in the Word. That what I said before is not true, but this is true. Because I can make mistakes. I can lie. I can deceive. I'm flesh. I'm a human. God is truth. His Word is truth. And we're supposed to gird up our loins about with truth so we can be successful as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Look what he says in the rest of verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Again, this first thing, we're supposed to withstand in the evil day. How can we do that if our lumbar region is not protected by truth? And then he says, we're supposed to have on the breastplate of righteousness. This thing of the breastplate, this four parts of the human body between the neck and the belly. Right here. You know what's in here? A lot of good stuff. We need this stuff. Kind of like the heart, lungs. These things are important. Okay? This is if you a kill zone. All you hunters out there, okay? Why? It's going to stop that creature in his tracks. What do you think the devil is trying to do to you? We're supposed to put on the breastplate of righteousness, protecting the area between the neck and the belly, so that we can move forward for the cause of Christ. What's going to protect us? Righteousness. Can I ask you a question? Do you suppose that God is telling us that our righteousness will protect us? No, last I checked, the Bible told us that all of our righteousness was as filthy rags. So what righteousness can we rely upon for our protection? God's righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. Who, besides Christ, can be perfect? None. He's our perfection, folks. We're supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be molded in His image. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, the Bible tells us, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ? Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, my Lord, Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." It's His righteousness, folks. We're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. Remember, one of the titles, He's Jesus Christ, the righteous. The righteous. We're supposed to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, you can go back in the Old Testament and study about the breastplate and all the different things. One of the passages of Scripture where God tells Moses about the priests and their outfit, their clothing that they were supposed to put on for service of God. One of those things was the breastplate. In Exodus 28, it gives us these examples of the breastplate and how it was supposed to be made and how it was supposed to be attached and what things were supposed to be involved in it. And he says in verse 28, he says, "And thou shalt bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron and shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place, for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim, that they shall be upon Aaron's heart, when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart, before the Lord continually." What is one of the biggest things we battle in the flesh? The heart. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. And the Bible says, who can know it? You know who tries our heart? God does. You know what protects our heart? The righteousness of Christ. God's righteousness is what we need to put on to protect our heart. Because guess what? If you're a soldier and your heart stops, guess what you cease to be? A soldier. You're done. Right? Let me ask you a question. Anybody know a guy named Solomon? Good guy? Good guy. Wise guy? Not like, nyuk, nyuk, nyuk. Okay, not that kind of a wise guy. How many of you got that reference? If you got that reference, you're old, okay?
Three Stooges. Okay, yeah. Anyway. What happened to him? Toward the end of his life. Why is this man in the Bible? His wives did what? Turned away his what? From God. What happened to Solomon toward the end of his life? His heart was turned away from God. Folks, what do we need our heart to be? In tune with God. Protected by the righteousness of God. Listen, we can't be a good soldier of Jesus Christ if our heart's not there. If our heart is away from God, we can't be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. We've got to protect the heart. We've got to put on the whole armor of God. Our loins must be girt about with truth. And we need to be having on the breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness of Christ. You know, the Bible tells us that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what does that mean? That we're made righteous in fellowship with God. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." It's by Christ that we're made righteous. It's His righteousness. It's the righteousness of God that we put on in our lives as Christians. Why? To protect our heart. To protect those vital organs that cause us to exist as a soldier of Jesus Christ. You understand that it's important to be clothed with these armor, these defensive arms, these things that protect us and help us to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Titus says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things will I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Hey, our good works are not our good works. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should walk in them. It's in Christ. He's our righteousness. So folks, as I encourage you today, I want you to think about your loins being girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We have more items of the thing of the armor of God to speak of. But if we don't have a good foundation, if we don't have the strength of our life settled with God in truth, and we don't have on the breastplate of righteousness protecting our heart, we're not going to be a good soldier of Christ. We need to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.